So you're doing a series on what did God say about that? What did God say about that? What did God say about that? And I thought, man, what am I going to talk about? And lots of things came to mind, but I settled on the subject of what did God say about staying connected? What did God say about staying connected, yeah? So let's just think about that. Lord, as we come to your word, I just thank you, Father, that your word is a living word. You said, Jesus, you said that the words that you give, they are spirit and they are life. And I pray the Lord, as we open your Bible together, as we share together, Lord, that spirit and life will happen in this place. Lord, let our spirits be nourished and fed and strengthened. And Lord, may we go out of this place strong in faith and giving glory to God and determining to stay connected. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 What did Jesus say about staying connected? Jesus said that he was the vine, and we're the branches. And he said, if you stay connected, if you branches, hands up those who are branches. All right. There's a few here. If you're a branch, then the idea of the branch is it grows fruit. Yeah, produces fruit. To do that, Jesus said, you just need to stay connected. You need to stay connected and fruit will happen, yeah? And the whole passage of John chapter 15 talks about that, about abiding or remaining, hanging in there, not getting distracted, not getting disconnect in the areas of our life, but just staying, abiding in the vine, abiding in Jesus, yeah? And Jesus said, I tell you what, you do that, you're going to be a fruitful person. You're going to be, you can't help it. It's just going to happen. So abiding, we've got a slide here up on the top. We're connecting abiding and we're connecting fruitfulness, yeah? So abiding, what these are some of the things. If I want to stay close to Jesus, I need to read this. I don't need to read just about it. Because sometimes we read the commentary and we read the every day or read the blessing and so on and so forth. But we need also to read the book. Yeah, read the book. We need to pray. We need to include God. You know, it's a funny thing that sometimes we just do everything else, and if that doesn't work, we'll pray. It's smart to pray first. Huh? Smart to pray first. Listen, abiding and remaining and staying connected means listening. So that with Jesus, I don't do all the talking. Give him my list for the day and say, sort that out, Jesus. I've got things to do. But I hesitate to leave just getting through my reading fast as so I can do what I need to do. I need to sometimes abide. I need to remain. I need to stay connected for a little longer and just think about what I've just read, yeah? So I get it. I get the nourishment out of that word. It's abiding, it's remaining, it's being connected. We're open to the Holy Spirit's leading. We're listening, so we're hearing from heaven. And when we meet people, we've got a word of encouragement. We've got life to give. We've heard from heaven. Hallelujah. Many people don't hear from heaven, but we need to hear from heaven. When I open the Bible, I want to hear from the Lord. I need to stop and listen. And then I've got something the Holy Spirit's going to speak to me and prepare me for the day. And I'm ready. We need to attend. It's so good that you're here this morning. We need to be here. Man, I'm having a double dose. We get two doses because we got Typer this afternoon. Hallelujah. No wonder Sophie and I are so filled with life. If we can just stay awake, we'll be good. But it's good. And abiding means to ask God to walk with us. say, Lord, this is what I've got in front of me today. Lord, would you come with me? This is staying connected. It's not just me rushing through my life and then when it's not working so good, I say, God, I really need your help now. It's a matter of including him as I go. It's staying connected. Yeah? And so that there's some things there. There's other things, but just we'll get to those in a minute. So then bearing fruit. What does it mean? Jesus said, you'll be fruitful. What does that mean? What's he talking about? And there's another slide here, and here's some of the things that he means. It's to do things right. So we speak truthfully. We ask with a serving heart. Not just asking for ourselves all the time and just our whole prayer time is about us and about what I'm doing, but there's an element of serving. That's fruitfulness in the kingdom of God, yeah? We share our faith authentically. We're looking for opportunities to share what Jesus has done for us, yeah? This is bearing fruit, yeah? We're concerned. We've got a thankful attitude. We're not a grizzler. You know, grizzlers are a pain, aren't they? You know, so you meet some people and they go, how are you going? You know, and all is just trouble. Oh, I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't like the other. Went to the supermarket the other day, they didn't do that right either. Went to somewhere else and, oh, I don't know what's wrong. The council, I've been trying to get hold of them, and they're not doing anything either. And then I go to church and that's worse. And, you know, wow. I try to miss those people. We've got a thankful attitude. We forgive people who irritate us. Does anyone know of anybody who irritates you? Don't look at each other like that. But we're quick to forgive. This is fruitfulness. This is living like Jesus wants us to live. That we're quick to forgive, as we heard this morning from Glennis. That we don't take offense easily. Hallelujah. It didn't wash over us. We're more loving than we were before we stayed connected. We're more patient. We're kind. And then when we do stuff in the kingdom of God, it works. Because we're connected with Jesus. And so there's fruitfulness. People appreciate what we do. There's a flow of life coming from us. Out of our innermost being is flowing a river, hallelujah, of life. And wherever it touches, it brings life. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to just bore people, huh? And I say, thank goodness he's finished. When people clap when I finish, I don't know what it means. I think they're just glad I'm finished. The problem we have today is that we try and produce these sort of things without staying connected, without abiding, you know. And when a branch, Jesus just said it like this, when a branch remains in me, fruitfulness just happens. Yeah, it just happens. You go through an orchard, you don't see all the apple trees grunting and groaning and trying. I've got to produce fruit. If the branches stay connected to the trunk, fruitfulness will. These are the words of Jesus, and so they really matter. And we can read it together, shall we? And he talks about a vine, and this is how it goes. Let's read it together. One, here we go. I am the vine. No, I'm the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. You're reading with me. Yes. What sort of class is this?
Junior.
Verse 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Next. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's John 15, actually, not 14. Verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Next. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You want to have a great life? You want to enjoy life? Do this stuff. That's what Jesus is saying. Do this stuff. See, there it is. You're the vine. You see, the nutrients, the vine gets the water and the nutrients out of the soil. The branch doesn't have to get them. They're all in the vine. He is the source. He is making sure that there is a flow of sap coming from the water and coming from the nutrients. He's collecting them all from the soil and he's passing them to the branches. Hallelujah. All the branch has to do is just stay connected. Yeah? See, that's how it is. So there. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week is connected. You see, it's not what's outside of us that determines our fruitfulness or our lack of fruitfulness. People say, well, I'm not patient and I get angry and I don't have self-control and my life has just been rough. People don't like me. And I had a rough upbringing and I've got all these problems with us. Fruitfulness and the fruit of the Spirit growing in our life comes from within us by staying connected to Jesus. Hallelujah. We start to produce the life of Jesus within us and shining through us. It's the invisible you. It's not what's happened to you outside. Of course, that affects us, but fruitfulness can grow from the inside. It's the sap inside. You don't see the sap coming, it just grows. It's there. It's in the vine. Every branch gets it if they stay connected, yeah? Instead of trying to fix the problem, we need to just use the energy to abide with Jesus and do the Jesus stuff. And the other will correct, hallelujah, because of the life of the Holy Spirit flowing in us. It's not through effort that we change and become like Jesus. It's by remaining in him and drawing from him, yeah? Look at this. I brought a plant. Look at this. Look at that. This is not a vine. I haven't got a grapevine at home. I have a very nice boysenberry vine, which is producing lots of berries right now. And every couple of days, I go down and pick some nice boysenberries and have ice cream and things. But this is not that. I couldn't fit my boysenberry vine into the car, so I brought this. What do you notice about this plant? Pardon? It needs some water. Yeah. Some parts of it are doing better than others. Yeah. What's happened here? Why is this like this? It's lost the connection. Look, it's had it. I'll just snip it. I'll finish it. It's already died. Yeah. And the reason... The reason it's died is because somewhere along the line it lost its lost connection with the rest of the plant. Yeah. It's not surprising. It's not doing good. Yeah. What about these? What about these? They're doing good. Why are they doing good? They're still connected to the trunk, yeah? They're still connected, but watch this. Watch this. He still looks all right. But he's dying. He's dying. The reason he's dying, he's got disconnected. You come and see him next week, he's dead. He's dead now. He just doesn't look like it. Yeah. Jesus just said, stay connected. Stay connected. The branch's job is to abide and to stay connected, whatever else is happening. Stay connected. There is the visible manifestation of being connected. That is, the branch will bear fruit if it's connected. That's why the branch exists. Jesus just says it like this. Verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Those that remain in me and I in them bear much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. You cannot bear fruit on your own. And that's what happens. The lack of fruitfulness in our lives is very simple. We're starting to lose our connection with Jesus. What does it really mean to bear fruit? What is Jesus after here? What's he saying? He's just saying that your outward life, my outward life and your outward life, is shown by our words and by our actions, and it will reflect, if we are bearing fruit, it will reflect the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love. Joy. He's going to get it connected, and I've got one that is connected. Kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. Gentleness, self-control. To be fruitful means that you and I will be involved in acts of servanthood. Yeah. That the fruitful person, Christian, who has a flow of the life of Jesus, sees when things need to be done and just goes and does it. Yeah. And doesn't wait to be asked. Yeah? This is fruitfulness. If I have to be asked to do stuff around the house, then I'm not bearing the fruitfulness that Jesus asked us to do. Yeah? Because people will want you as a neighbor, someone who cares for them, yeah? And rings up and makes sure they're okay. To be fruitful means that you'll discover your spiritual giftedness and you'll use it in an attitude of humility to build the body of Christ. Every one of us carries gifts. And it is my duty as a person in the kingdom of God is to make those gifts available to bless other people in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That's fruitfulness. I do not live to myself. Sophia and I are not just here at our age, just to live to ourselves when there's people up there in Taipa who need us right now, who have said, please come and help us. And the fruitfulness of our life says, yes, Lord, we can do that. Hallelujah. You see, it's bearing fruit. To be fruitful means that you'll speak the truth in love even when it's hard. It means that what comes out of our mouth is wholesome and it's clean. Yeah? That what comes out of our mouth is life-giving, encouraging, and uplifting. The mouth of the righteous, Proverbs 10 and verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Oh, I better say it again. The mouth of the fruitful person is a fountain of life. Hallelujah. That when you meet me, there's a fountain of life coming out. My words are life-giving. Hallelujah. Praise God. They are clean and they are wholesome. Amen. Bless the Lord. I was with a Christian guy, and he used this phrase, and he said, I'm going to use it. Just apologize, but I'm going to use what he said. And I thought, wow. And he used the phrase, and he says, bloody hell. And I thought, what? 2 minutes later, he used it again. And I thought, no. The only thing that keeps us out of hell is the blood of Jesus. And the devil takes those things and makes them and tramples on them so that the ordinary person doesn't understand the way of salvation. Hallelujah. My heart says that's not bearing fruit. In other words, unclean words. A lot of our words that we use, the devil uses them and they're unclean. And it comes and they often refer to our back passage. You think about the swear words and the different things. And they're unclean. Hallelujah. They're the waste things. Don't let those words come out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Be clean and wholesome in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. I'm old. I can say these things. My words demonstrate a faith in God and expectation. Oh, I sat there, stood there this morning, praise God. The best, what does it say, the anointing or something is an open door. Yeah. What was that? Your presence is an open door. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Fountain of life. Yeah. Be fruitful means that we'll listen, we'll really listen. We'll listen to others. We're just not so full. I've found a phrase, I'm trying to counsel a particular person. And I said to him, I said, you know what the problem with you is? He said, no. He said, you've got an overinflated, I said to him, you've got an overinflated opinion of your own opinion. He's full of advice. But it's not fruitful advice. It's harsh. Means we'll listen to others. A fruitful life means you come to care for people who don't know God. You share the gospel with them. A life that is fruitful financially means that instead of just seeking to acquire and build up stuff, you'll use your resources to further the work of God in this world, to build up the church and to help the poor. You'll be a fruitful vine. Hallelujah. A gracious, loving servant, minister to the church, share of the gospel, generous, open-handed with your resources and your time, you'll live out the reason for which you were born. You will bear fruit. And Jesus just simply says it in verse 8. He says, my Father is glorified when you bear much fruit. Yeah, to God be the glory. We give you glory. We give you glory. Jesus said, I'll tell you, my Father is glorified when you become fruitful. Hallelujah. When your life, it looks a bit like Jesus' life. Yeah. Oh, I want to be like that. He says, well, stay connected, son. Make sure the connection is there. Someone who's connected to the vine is open to the leading of God in her life, and she overflows with the fruit of the Spirit, and God is glorified. And Jesus said in Matthew 3:16, he says, by your fruit you will know them. By their fruit. He doesn't say by your cleverness and by your giftedness. He says that's not the real person. The real person that I'm looking for the fruit. Hallelujah. By your fruit you shall know them. And that's where the Holy Spirit wants to work in our hearts. And he says, just stay connected. Stay connected to me. It'll come. Hallelujah, I love that. So how do we respond to this? What sort of response can happen? There's four responses that we can make. Here they come up on the screen. Number one, the first response is just we decide to stay connected. Yeah. We're just going to stay connected. And the things that I shared, be praying, listening, sharing our faith, watching our speech, and what we're saying, and being part of the answer and not part of the problem. Yeah? Hallelujah. And I decide that's what I'm going to be. Lord, whatever it takes, whatever else is happening in my life, I'm just determined to remain in you and to abide in you and to listen to you and to be in touch with you, hallelujah, every day of my life, yeah? Amen. Jesus said, you did that, you'll become fruitful. Number two, he says, the branch that bears fruit, I prune it. What? I've just got started. And you're cutting me back already? Well, sometimes things happen in our lives and branches grow. My boysenberry vine right now is putting out stuff everywhere. It's just shooting out there, shooting. I'll train some of those vines and use them for next year. But the rest of it, we're going to prune them. So next year I get a better crop. And Jesus doesn't just leave us to ourselves. He's after more fruit, hallelujah. And so he prunes us. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it brings more fruit. Sometimes we get into do stuff and it's okay for a while and we've done sound for 10 years and we get pruned. We say, that's enough. You need to put your life into something else now. You've served well now, but I'm going to cut that back and going to open up some other area for you. And it's okay. Don't get all miserable because someone else has come along and you've lost your beautiful position. Someone's doing it better. Say, thank you, Lord. What do you want me to do now? Hallelujah. No fruitful branch gets a free pass on the pruning business. So I'm a branch. Don't prune me, Lord. I'm just started. Boom, chop. And he cuts us back. And things happen in our lives, and they're not pleasant sometimes. No one likes to be cut back. But hallelujah, Jesus knows what he's doing. He's the husband. He's the carer. And he cuts things back from our lives and says, wait a minute, I need to chop that off right now. That relationship, that needs to be chopped off right now. I want you to bear more fruit. And we prune. We cut back. In the vineyard, they cut it real back. Cut a whole lot back, yeah? Start again. Jesus said there's four levels of fruitfulness. There's no fruit. And Jesus said, if you don't abide in me, there's no fruit. Then he says, there's branches that bear fruit. Verse 2 says, these branches, if they stay in the vine, they'll bear fruit. But he doesn't stop there. He says, if I prune you, there'll be more fruit. Hallelujah. I want to be more. And you know, that's a desire in our hearts, and so more fruit. I can do better. I can become more fruitful. My life can touch more people. I can be more kind and more loving and more neighborly and so on. Yeah? And then he says in verse 5, he said, my Father's glorified when you produce much fruit. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, much fruit. Hallelujah. Very fruitful. Yeah. There's four ways of that. The third thing about our response is feeding. Fruitful branches are fed or nourished by Jesus' words. He says, if you abide in me, verse 7, he says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then you'll be real. There'll be much fruit. So he gives us a clue to the fruitfulness, and he said it comes from the book. And the tragedy of the Christian church and the Western world is that it's starving. It's undernourished. Many Christians do not read the book. And they are undernourished. If we fed our bodies like we fed our spirit, our body would have died long ago. But we need to read the Bible. What did Jesus say? If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Imagine this morning, here we go. Imagine, they say, we're going to start over in the back. We're going to start with Glenn over there. And we're going to say, and we're all going to give our favorite verse, but you're not allowed to say the same verse that someone else says. So Glenn starts off and he says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, who believes on him would not perish. And a third of us say, oh no, that's my verse. And then he says, then the next one says, you know, I've come that you give life and more abundantly. The thief comes to steal, and 10 more say, oh no, hang, what's another verse? By the time it gets down to here, this lot have struggled and got some verses. Yes, how are you going? And you get down to here, and we say, oh man. Amen. Pass. Pass. Because we don't know. We don't know the word of God. Therefore, we don't know how to pray. Therefore, we don't know what the Bible says about our issues. The Bible, we don't know what God has said. And our spirit are nourished. And before long, they are in trouble. And then temptation comes and it's easy. Our soul begins to dictate to us how to live. Yeah? Because our spirit's not strong enough. And we need the word of God. Whatever it takes, read the Bible. You say it's boring. Well, read another bit of it. Oh, man, I've just come through Jeremiah. Read the whole chapter week after day after day. Oh, he's hard work, that fella. But there's gold in there, too. There's real gold in there. Or number four, our one response, the last one, is we can become disconnected. They're hard words. Jesus says in verse 2, the Father removes every branch that bears no fruit. Verse 6, Jesus says, whoever does not remain in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and be burned. This is quite sobering, you will agree. It's the tragedy of fruitfulness. It's the tragedy of branches that don't bear fruit anymore. And Jesus uses the wood of the vine. The wood of the vine is useless. You can't make anything out of it. They wouldn't even let it be used even to burn the sacrifices. They said, that's just useless. Throw it away. And they all knew that in the day. And Jesus didn't say that sort of thing just to create inappropriate anxiety in our hearts at all. Wow, I didn't read the Bible for 3 days. Man, am I going to be cut off and thrown out? No, he's not saying that. He's just saying it's a serious thing if we don't stay connected. It's a serious thing if church is optional. And we'll go to the house of the Lord if we haven't got anything else to do. These things are up for grabs for many in our society today. Jesus is not that sort of a God that he's capricious or just reacts. He knows you. He knows me. He knows we don't get it right all the time, but he loves us with an unfailing love. Mate, I've been around for 70, I'm hitting 80 this year. But he hasn't given up on me. Of all the useless things I've done and all the lack of unfruitfulness that were in periods of my life, he just said, I know him. He'll turn. He'll get connected again. Hallelujah. I love him. He loves me. He's not going to throw you away, but he's just saying, hey, it's a serious thing not to produce fruit. It's possible to choose not to stay connected. that I somehow reject him in some areas of my life as being the vine of my life and being the place where I connect. And I can decide to connect somewhere else. I'll spend more time connected to the television. I'll spend more time connected to media. I'll spend more time connected to nonsense. I'll spend more time, I'll get my information in my life from some other source. Jesus just says, don't do that. This is the source of your life. This is the nourishment to your spirit. Stay connected to the Word of God. Hallelujah. Stay connected to Jesus. And the fruit will come. The patience will grow. The love and the kindness will just begin to be there. Hallelujah. The servant heart will just begin to develop. People will want to spend time with you because you've got words of life coming out of you. Your words of encouragement are just falling out of you. There's an overflow from your life. Hallelujah. Thing is, I don't know about you, but I sure don't want to get to the end of my life and I never developed a loving heart. I sure don't want to get to my life and never experience the joy of the Lord because I got disconnected somewhere. Because Jesus said in the last verse 11, he said, I'm telling you this so that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be complete. Hallelujah. And I don't want to miss on that. I want to find that and find it in abundance. Hallelujah. That there's a joy, there's a fountain in my life. Hallelujah. I don't want to get to the end of my life and never be involved in an act of mad generosity where I've given away from myself. Hallelujah. I experience the joy of giving away, hallelujah, and blessing others, not just once, but again and again and again. Hallelujah. Of deliberately looking for people who aren't as well off as I am and beginning to give just something for them. Hallelujah. Putting something in their pocket. Yeah? I don't want to get to the end of my life and have never discovered the way God has gifted me from the day I was born. That he's putting gifts in my life. And I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, I never knew who I was. I never discovered God's purpose for my life. Fruitfulness. I don't want to get to the end of my life and discover I've never shared the gospel with anybody else. I just kept quiet all the time. I don't want to get to the end of my life and I never developed a courageous spirit that had a go. Even if I, you know, so, even if I aim for the moon and I just get over the garden wall, you know, okay. But I don't want to get to the end of my life and still not have the courage of my convictions and still not have the courage to do what Jesus has asked me to do. And I hide in the stuff and never go out to battle. That I remain quiet when Jesus says, speak up. Hallelujah. I don't want to finish my life without courage and without strength. Hallelujah. I don't want to get to the end of my life and I've never learned how to speak the truth in love. I'd always just let the other person, oh well, they're going down the gurgler, but I'm not going to say anything. I have the courage to speak the truth and rescue them from the direction they're heading. I don't want to get to my end of my life and fail. And find out that I really didn't abide with Jesus like he wanted me to. I didn't have that connection. I don't want to come to the end of my life and discover that he was there every morning. Every morning that I woke up, he was there. But I had other things to do. And I was busy.
And Jesus waited for another morning. And I want to come down to the end of my life and find out that I've accomplished a whole lot of stuff, but there was no real fruit in my life. And others could see it, but I didn't. Jesus just says, I'm the vine. You're the branches. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. I'm going to read you a bit of prose. Some of you, this will be meaningful to, others it won't be. It was written by a lady in the church back in Auckland, and she had come to the Lord out of a hard life and a hard, just a terrible things, and she'd found Jesus, and she was just abiding in him and gently walking with him, and she was finding that he was bringing beautiful changes to her life that she never ever thought was possible. And she describes herself as being about to break out into a full flower and bloom. But as a bud, she was just being protected by the Lord, but she wouldn't be that all her life. Like a flower, her name is Sam Harris. Like a flower before bloom, so am I. Covered, protected by the hands of God. The flower bud is the home to the creation of color and detail. It's a fortress where learning to live its life is taught under the protection of its walls. So when the flower breaks forth, it can stand tall and strong against whatever will come across its life on the outside. So am I, under the hands of God, protected. Inside, cocooned from the influence of the outside, left to grow in his ways before emerging into what he's intended for my life. Working on the inside of me to produce a life and a freedom that can be used for his gain. I want a life of service and of calling, like that of the flower, working to produce nectar and a fragrance that is pleasing to those around, but also has a softness that gently draws the innocent and searching soul and paints a tranquil reality of faith and peace. So is the life of God. He plants in me the desires to move forward into the things he has for me and produces the fruits that will be evident to others. At times, he will take from me the branches of my life that have overgrown or that no longer have any use. But when he does, the increase will be fuller and deeper than it ever was before. Abiding in him is like water to my spirit. It will grow strong and secure so that I can be like the chief gardener of hearts and give out to others what he has placed in me. Let's pray. Father, we bow our heads in your presence. I thank you, Lord, that I can trust you implicitly with my life, that you know me, my uprising and my downsitting, my times of goodness and the times of not so good. But you love me with an unfailing love, and I trust you, Lord, and I just want to stay connected to you. Lord, if somehow I got disconnected, Lord, there'd be no fruit. Lord, if somehow I started to begin to grow and different fruit would start to appear that I don't want, I just ask your Holy Spirit to help me to abide,
not to rush in and out of your presence, but just to remain and listen and enjoy you, Jesus. You're the lover of my soul. You are for me. Lord, I pray that for each of us in this room today, that we'll just make a clear decision that we are going to stay connected to Jesus. Hallelujah. That we are going to abide in the vine, that we'll gain our nourishment and our life and our fruit from just being in Him and Him in us. Lord, let your life flow through us as we stay connected. Hallelujah. And Lord, if you need to prune us, it's okay. Because you would never do that without the intention of bringing more fruit and much fruit. And so, Jesus, we trust you. We said yes to you years ago, and we've walked with you. And again, this morning, we just say, yes, Lord, I just want to stay connected to you. I just want to abide in you, Lord. Father, thank you for who you are. And you alone know how to make us like Jesus. And we ask you, please do that. Holy Spirit, so work in our life that even tomorrow there'll be more fruit than there was today. That this fruit, Lord, that you talk about will miraculously begin to appear in our lives for the blessing of others and so that you might be glorified. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Everyone, just look up at me. Hallelujah. Jesus is the best friend you'll ever have. He says, yoke up with me. Connect up with me. You say, I'm struggling to produce the fruit. And you think about doing this and doing that and doing the other. My teaching is just to you this morning. Just get close to Jesus. Just abide in Him. He'll look after the rest. Amen. Amen. God bless you.